I would like this evening to draw your attention to 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 13. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 13. It reads, "For those who have served well as deacons obtain for themselves a good standing and great boldness in the faith which is in Christ Jesus." We are thankful to the Lord for the ordination of our brother Patrick Shilumba to the deacon's office. And we celebrate this important occasion because we recognize the importance of the office and the great things deacons do for us and even for people outside of the church. And I want to bring a further charge to our brother Patrick. He's already been charged, and I want to bring a further charge, which I will couch in the form of sound words found here in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 13. "For those who have served well as deacons obtain for themselves a good standing and great boldness in the faith which is in Christ Jesus." And the charge is simply this: serve well. Or if you like, serve excellently. And there are 3 points I'd like us to observe from this charge: the meaning of serving well, the means by which you are to serve well, and the motivation for serving well. Those 3 things. Let's begin with the meaning of serving well. And we'll begin with the word serving. Serving. To serve, and if you were reading a Greek Bible, you would see this very clearly. It could also read to deacon, because the word used in the Greek is diakonesantes. So it has that root word, diakon. So to serve is to deacon. And it means to be an attendant. It is to do something similar to what a waiter does in a restaurant, or to what an auxiliary nurse does in a hospital or an old people's home. They attend to these old people. Or if they are waiters, they attend to those who go for meals at the restaurant. They are at the service of those people. The idea of being a deacon in recent times has come to symbolize all of the mundane work that a deacon does. He assists the elders. He provides for the material concerns of the congregation, such as paying bills, keeping records, meeting the church's budget, providing for the congregational needy, etc. Now, there is serving and serving. There are those who are in the deacon's office, but who do not serve well. For them, the office has become a status symbol and not a means of serving. Serving can become crude and unkind and arrogant. That is not serving well. Which brings me to the word well. The apostle says, those that serve well. Well. And I want you to note that adverb, well. It means literally good. That's what it means literally. Good. To serve well means to serve good. This being the case, serving well or serving good, serving properly, will include, first of all, serving according to God's word, which is good, as you know. The word of God is holy, it is just, it is good. When we serve according to God's word, we are going to serve according to the good things it proposes that we do. When we think, when we speak, when we act. And in regard to deacons' work, it will have to do more with acting. So we are not called to serve according to worldly and evil principles. We are not called to be pragmatic merely. We are to serve according to God's word. The church is the pillar and foundation of the truth. The truth must guide all we teach and all we do. And in the context of the deacon's office, the truth must guide how deacons function. And I'm suggesting that when they function according to God's word, they are serving well. Secondly, serving well will include serving to do good to those we serve. We serve to do them good, not to advance our own selfish ambitions. We serve to do them good, not to massage our own egos. We serve to do good to the church. We serve to alleviate the needs of the elders. And you will find that the elders do have needs that as a deacon you must attend to. It means serving to provide for the material concerns of the congregation. And you will find that there are myriad of concerns in the congregation. It means serving to provide for the congregational needy. And you will find that we have lots and lots of needy people. The poor, the widows, and sometimes the widowers. It is your call to do them good. Serving well will include serving diligently. Diligence suggests that you have a goal to achieve, namely to win souls and to build the saints. It happens to be the self-same goal that the elders have. So your marching orders are not different from the elders. Your goal is to win souls, to promote the winning of souls, to build the saints, to edify the saints, to do them good in that sense. You just do it differently. You just achieve that goal differently from the way the elders do it. But to serve in that way with diligence does not just imply that you have a goal, but that you are prepared to persevere at doing it. As you do this work, You will mean to do good. You will mean to do good. And yet you will face with criticism. And criticisms will come from every angle. Criticisms will come from the very people you are intending to do good, the very people you are intending to bless. Criticisms will come. And some of them will not be constructive. They may even be destructive. Must you give up? Must you stop working as a deacon and striving to do them good? Of course not. You must carry on with diligence. Diligence suggests that there will be challenging times. Diligence suggests that the work you are called to do is not easy. It is difficult. Sometimes it will be easy. But many times it will be challenging and it will be difficult. How can you serve in the midst of a pandemic, for example? How can you serve when the church is not meeting in person? How can you serve? It's difficult, but serve you must. How can you serve successfully when resources are stretched, sometimes even scarce? How can you serve when the needs are so much more than the means of meeting them? Must you stop? Must you give up because there is difficulty? There are challenges before you? No. You must carry on. And diligence demands that. That is what serving well looks like. But let's come in the second place and look at the means by which you are to serve well. The means by which you are to serve well. And I want to suggest that the means are your qualifications. Notice the little word "for" in verse 13. For those who have served well as deacons obtain for themselves a good standing and great boldness in the faith which is in Christ Jesus. That little word "for" provides the logical connection between verse 13, which we are considering, which is our text, and the preceding section, which runs from verse 8 right through to 12. What does the section say? Verse 8, likewise, deacons must be reverent, not double-tongued, not given to much wine, not greedy for money, holding the mystery of the faith with a pure conscience. But let these also first be tested, then let them serve as deacons, being found blameless. Likewise, their wives must be reverent, not slanderers, temperate, faithful in all things. Let deacons be the husbands of one wife, ruling their children and their own households well. And then we come to that little word, "for." For those who have served well as deacons obtain for themselves a good standing. Now that word, it doesn't just connect verse 13 to the preceding section, it alerts us as to why the requirements of verse 8 to 12 are so necessary. In other words, to be able to serve well, you must meet these qualifications. To be able to serve well, you must be characterized by these qualifications. These qualifications will equip you to serve. They will drive you on as you endeavor to serve. And when you look at them carefully, they are not very different from the qualification of elders. Apart from the requirement to teach, everything else sounds the same. They must be qualified in their home life. They must be qualified morally. They must be qualified in their abilities. Husband of one wife, ruling over their children, being of a wholesome character, reverent, not double-tongued, not given to much wine, not greedy for money, holding the mystery of the faith. Their own wives must be exemplary. That's part of what it means for him to rule over his family. He rules over his wife and over his children. He does not demand that the church be one thing only for his own wife to negate that very thing. And that's a high standard, isn't it? Acts chapter 6, verse 3 to 5 also gives us some insights as to the things that enable deacons. A good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, faith. All of these things must characterize a deacon. And these are the things that will enable them to serve well. When we were ordaining two of the new deacons a couple of weeks ago, I spoke on knowing God as the means through which we would be strong and do exploits for the Lord. You cannot be strong. You cannot do exploits for the Lord if you don't have the character to be strong and to do exploits. Character comes first. This is true in the church. I want to suggest that it must be true at the state level as well. At the family level as well. Character. Far too often here in Africa and in Zambia, we put men in political office who have no character. And we are disappointed when they don't make it, when they don't do well, when they steal, when they lie. How can people who lack character, righteous character, do a righteous thing? There is a relationship between character and our performance. This is no doubt true in the realm of diaconal work. God blesses character. It is not so much that we have a lot of physical energy, a lot of physical strength, a lot of common sense and innovation, that they have their place. But it's not so much that we have that, as that we are Christ-like. We have character. It's not that we can sound strong and shout strong and appear courageous. No. It is that we are like Christ. We can serve like Christ. And that is what God blesses. Let me come in the third place to the motivations for serving well. The motivations for serving well. And there are two motivations stated here in verse 13. For those who have served well as deacons obtain for themselves, number one, a good standing, and number two, great boldness in the faith which is in Christ Jesus. Notice first of all that they obtain a good standing. A good standing. And that word which is translated as standing here can also mean a step or a stair. When you have to go upstairs in this building, you have to mount stairs. You move from one step to the next, from the bottom one to the top one, and that is eventually what gets you to the top. The word translated good standing means just that, a step, a stair. It can also be translated as a position, a standing, a grade of advancement, a good standing. Now notice it doesn't say a better standing. Because sometimes we think that the diaconal office is the means to the elder's office. So you start off here and then you go there to a better standing. And that is not what Paul has in mind. There are people who are qualified to be deacons who are not qualified to be elders. There are people who are deacons, but they also qualify to be elders. And because they qualify to be elders, they are given the elder's office. It's not about getting to a better office. It's about occupying an office for which you are qualified and gifted. So the apostle is not talking about a higher grade. He is talking about a good standing. It is a standing. And I want to say first that it's an honorable standing. A noble standing. The kind of standing that enables you, that positions you to have a good influence in the church. So it's not just elders who have a good influence. Deacons can have a good influence. And I dare say, people who are not in the deacon's office, but who serve the church well, can also have a good influence in the church. And notice, the relationship between this standing is with those who serve well, those who will have served well as deacons obtain for themselves a good standing. Deacons who don't serve well don't obtain such a standing. Those who do, do obtain such a standing. An honorable place, a place of influence. they earn the respect of the church. And notice, what they are doing here is not preaching. It is deacon's work. And in a manner similar to the way Mother Teresa, who used to do diaconal work in India, serving the poor, helping the needy for 40 years, that Roman Catholic nun did that sort of thing. And she always scored highly. In the polls, in terms of those the world considered to have been influential. When deacons do the same, they will have high standing. Now, why does the office of deacon obtain such an honor? Well, precisely because in the eyes of men, the office of deacon appears like a lowly office. The work they do is mundane and menial, and we can be tempted to think that this is a lowly office. Very easy to despise the office. But as the deacons exercise themselves after a godly fashion, doing good to the church, over time, they earn the respect of the church. This is, of course, true of the elders too. But that is the first thing. The second, in terms of motivations, is that they obtain great boldness in the faith. Great boldness in the faith. And the word boldness can mean confidence. Confidence. It's got nothing to do with speaking. Like when I stand before people, I need the confidence to speak. But it has everything to do with being confident in the faith, as Paul described it, in the faith which is in Christ Jesus. In other words, as the deacon serves and he witnesses the faithfulness of the Lord in blessing his service, it helps him, it causes him to establish a character of firmness in the faith. He sees the Lord at work, he becomes more and more assured that what he is doing for the Lord and in the Lord's name is true, it's good, it's helpful, and he is urged on in serving the Lord. Our faith determines our capacity for service. The more our faith, the deeper our faith, the more we serve. The less faith we have, the weaker faith we have, the more we stand on the sidelines and watch others. And the more we have faith, the more we please God, and the more we become a blessing to the church. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. But with faith, God looks upon our work, and he can see that we depend on him. And when we depend on the Lord, he is glorified. And when he is glorified, he blesses us. And we find our happiness and satisfaction in him
as we experience His blessing. This will be yours when you serve well. I want to stress once again, it is those who serve well who can be inspired by this motivation. There are people who don't serve well, but they expect to be blessed. It is faithfulness that God blesses. And Brother Patrick, if the Lord would bless you, be faithful to Him. I want to conclude with 3 points, perhaps 4. First, maintain your qualifications. Serving well is rooted in the qualifications. Maintain your qualifications in the home. Maintain your qualifications in your moral life. Maintain your qualifications in your gifts. Seek to be Spirit-filled. Seek to know the Spirit by experience. And He will give you wisdom and faith. He will strengthen you in your service. Maintain your qualifications. And secondly, serve excellently. Serve excellently. Give yourselves fully to serve well. As Christians, we can sometimes have the bad attitude of thinking that because the work we do in the church is by and large voluntary, we don't need to be serious about it. It's our spare work. We do it in our spare time. And we use our spare energies. And if I didn't have the time and the energies, well, I'll let this work go begging. So, for example, as a church, we have decided to suspend our in-person meetings. Well, does that mean you must suspend your work as a deacon? As an elder? As a church member? Is that what it means? Does it mean you stop functioning? You stop serving others? You are going to work every day. And you go to school too. You even go to the shops. Well, there it's not dangerous. But serving God in the context of the church is somehow dangerous. Think about that kind of thinking. It's faulty thinking. It's faulty thinking. You must do excellently. In a time such as this, you must think, I have these gifts, I have this calling, I'm part of this family. Yes, things have somewhat changed, but how can I continue to serve? How can I do it differently, but effectively? That's the way to think. Serve excellently. Serve with your mind. And serve with your heart. Serve with your hands. And serve with your legs. And all the while, be concerned about bringing about a good product. Thirdly, you will obtain a double reward. That sounds like Paul's promise
to the elders in 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 17. The elders who rule over the church well, he says, are worthy of double honor. Well, here is a double honor for the deacons. You will obtain a double reward. You will have influence. You will have confidence in the faith. Strive to labor in such a way that God Himself will give you such an honor, and the church herself will give you such an honor. Finally, to the church family. I have said this before, I will say it again. Be willing to be served. These men occupy office not for their own sake. I'm not saying they won't profit anything from it. But they are in the office for you. For you. For you. Be willing to be served by them. Count them as a gift and a blessing to you. Don't abuse. I didn't say don't use. I said don't abuse the deacons. Don't break the deacons down. Don't gossip about the deacons in a destructive way. Pray for them. Support them. Work with them so they can succeed at their work. And thank God for them. And thank them. Tell them how thankful you are for the work they do. If you should criticize them, do it constructively. And ask them, just as much as they ask you. They ask you, how can we serve you? How can we help you? Please, let us know. How can we help you? Well, in a similar way, ask them, how can we be of help to you? How can we make it easier for you? When you do that, it will be easier for them. And they will serve so much better. And we pray for you, dear Patrick, that the Lord will help you to serve Him well and to serve us well. For Jesus' sake. Amen.